whose show, Cascades, is on now at the Russo Lee Gallery. KBOO keeps you informed, and you can get involved. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member today. If you've missed any part of any programming or there's something you'd like to re-listen to, go to kboo.fm/listen. And now, Stage and Studio. This program of Stage and Studio is made possible by KBOO members like you and support from PD Expendables. PD Expendables Stage and Studio Supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater production, from gel and globes to paint and lights, featuring the latest Airy LED lighting. They can be reached at 503-887-5880 or their online store at pdexpendables.com.
Welcome to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon. On today's show, our special guests, Tahereh Cozier and Monica Fleetwood, introducing Side-Eyed Collaborations. Side-Eyed Collaborations is new to the Portland theater community, and their mission at Side-Eyed, to illuminate the marginalized lens through theatrical and visual art, inspiring conversation and action. Today, we will be discussing their organization and their upcoming Portland premiere production, The Clark Doll, written by Liz Morgan and directed by Victor Mack, opening next month. Join the discussion. Stay with us for Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon. Joining me in the KBOO studio today, we have special guests Tahereh Cozier and Monica Fleetwood, introducing Side-Eyed Collaborations and their Portland premiere upcoming show, The Clark Doll, written by Liz Morgan and directed by Victor Mack, opening next month. Ty and Monica, welcome to Stage and Studio.
Hi, thank you for having us.
So, Side-Eyed Collaborations has been up on its feet for how long now?
Oh, so unofficially since the summer of 2017, officially middle of December, that's when we became a actual legal business in Oregon, so a separate entity.
And so for those who are unfamiliar with your organization, could you tell us about your mission and the work that you want to produce at Side-Eyed?
So our mission statement is basically we're wanting to see not only diversity on stage, we want to see diversity as far as the storytelling we're doing, the writing, the people that we decide to have on as designers, the directors, where we are now at a point, I believe, that we should start demanding that we are represented, and not only just represented with, like, you putting two minorities on stage and saying, hey, this is that, but, like, and what is the story that you're telling? And so illuminating is meaning that there are stories that are being had, there are people that want to be seen, and we're focusing on that. This isn't a general wash of, let's just say, let's put one thing up this season and say we put four of these, like, for instance, black bodies on stage, and then we've checked off our mark. That's not the kind of storytelling we're interested in, and we're interested in making more of a holistic experience for minorities in the theater community.
Would you categorize Side-Eyed as a theater company, or like...
Man, the word company really makes me feel tethered, so I avoid the word company at all costs. We get that question quite frequently, as long as with, like, we were a production, and now we've settled and, like, and really are inspired to be a collaboration, because the truth is, in Portland, there are several people, individuals, companies here that are wanting to do and produce this work, and they're just needing just the right amount of support, and our job is to offer that support and to help inspire those people to continue, and for ourselves. And I only believe that you have to have a whole village to get the change that we want to see, and so that's what we're about. We're collaborating with people that are already doing the thing and help lifting that voice and their drive and inspiration.
So would you say that's what makes you different from other arts organizations in Portland?
Yeah, because it truly is a collaboration. I think our biggest thing is that we want to provide people with the resources to do said theater, you know, to shine a light on the marginalized lens and to get these underrepresented voices heard. So our biggest thing is we want to work with our friends, you know what I mean? We want to work with the people who looks like us, the people whose stories interest us, and the stories that we're not seeing a lot. So we want to provide people, we want to provide these companies who've been here already, who are doing that, we want to provide them access to younger artists and younger artists of color who have been around and have been in the scene, but unfortunately they just haven't had the opportunity to do it. We also want to provide them with the playwrights to do the work that is trending, but the work that's trending needs to come from the people who are making it trend. It needs to come from the Black, Latino, queer, LGBTQ people, whatever, those people, it needs to come from them and not just another white male heterosexual playwright who writes these stories.
It's interesting. I start a show in 2 weeks with Passing Art Theater Company, and I realized that this is the first time I've never been in an all black cast with a play written by a black male, being directed by a black male. And I think the gravity of that just hit me. Like, I've been working in Portland for 4 years, and it's really the roles that come up for us. You know, I've done Showboat. We've done our we played
our maids and our slaves, right? And every the other requirement that apparently is expected of us before we actually decide to tell stories that are actually representative of our own true selves and lives. Right.
And I feel like a lot of times it's almost like I'm like begging for this opportunity. A lot of organizations feel like they are doing the work simply by having people of color on stage. And what you're talking about and what we're talking about here is having people of color involved in every aspect of the creative process. Yes. And telling their own stories. How can community members get involved with Side-Eyed?
The easiest way is to like and follow us on all of the social media platforms that we have. I'll come to productions. Right now, my biggest thing is like any nonprofit, young theater, collaboration company, whatever, donate. Every penny helps. You know, come to the events, come to any talkbacks that are being held, and just talk to us. Donate and talk to us. Like, we both are we're not the most available people in the world, but we make time, you know what I mean? If somebody were to email us and say, hey, I'm really interested in your organization, I don't know where I'd be able to fit in, we want to go have coffee with you. We want to meet with you. We don't know if you would be a prospective board member or you would be a prospective ASM for a show. You know what I mean? Or like even a house manager. Like, you don't have to be an actor to come talk to us and to be a part of change. That's the biggest thing here, because if all of the people who wanted to do change and all of the talented, diverse people were always felt like they weren't able to talk to us because they weren't guaranteed the specific shot that they thought that they would get. Like, if you weren't guaranteed, you know, I definitely want to be an actor, so I'm definitely going to talk to them about acting. You know what I mean? Like, we just want everybody to be a part of the village, as Monica had just said. Like, you don't have to sign on to what you've always been pressured to do. So that's the biggest thing, I think. Just get involved. Just talk to us. That's the best way to start.
Mm-hmm. And it's great that you're making yourselves accessible. Like, so many leaders in a community are not accessible, especially talking, having these serious conversations with one another about what they want to get out of the creative process and what we're putting into our communities. People have had the conversations about underrepresentation of women of color and these types of positions across America. Would you say there's some kind of responsibility that comes with that, or what are your thoughts?
I personally feel like I just have a right to it. It's not a responsibility, because it's just, for me, a right that everybody is entitled to. And part of my job as Monica moving through the world is I just genuinely want to see, especially people of color and just any intersectionality, be represented. And that's just on a basic human level. I guess responsibility in the sense of, yes, like, we are kind of all linked in one way, and whatever we do, it passes on. And you should always do that. So, but it's, I feel like it's less of a responsibility as it is a right. And I feel like we are not given that right to do these things, to be a director, to be an actor, to be a producer, to be a writer, or whatever, designer, or whatever has it in the creative community. We don't have that right. And of course, we're responsible for ourselves, but the reality is you can't be responsible for anything that you're not able to actually do. That's just the reality. I can't help Susie Q, Johnny B, and Pee Wee, and Herman, and everybody else down the street if I don't have the right to be able to even get into the building to make that change. So it's a right that we are not getting, and that we should be getting, and we're no longer going to sit idly by and just wait to be given to us. Because as we've seen, especially locally with Portland, you can have all of the available talent here in the space, and they feel responsible and they're ready to dive in, but yet there's nothing to be really seen or to work towards.
Right. And I feel like I've had similar conversations with other theater professionals about, well, you can audition anywhere and you can apply anywhere. And I'm like, and most people forget, like, it's about, I mean, there's just no space, like creating space for us to have the ability to just tell our own stories. Or, you know, like, I can't tell you how many auditions I've been to where I'm just like in a line with going up for the same part to see who can speak the certain way and do the certain thing. So, I mean, I think it's amazing that you're talking about this because a lot of people just don't know.
And I mean, you have to really consider that, like, we can audition all day, but when you walk in and the people who are casting you won't have any familiarity with who you are or like in which a play is written and the dialect in which people speak or just a wholeness that you need to be able to cast, you're already two steps behind. You can't expect somebody who has not put themselves in a space where they can be with people of color in this specific case and say they know exactly how to cast and do these things, because what do I look like with 15 other black people in the room and I see nothing but three white people casting me? Like that doesn't even equate to equalness. Like, you know, like I just
right.
It's also a thing where, like, and it's in this town. I mean, it's in general within, you know, being an actor, doing the performance thing. It's like, you know, cattle call auditions. A bunch of people go in. There's a good chance that everybody might look like you, or you might be into a stock character type that they're looking for, or they're not looking for, or whatever. But the thing is, being a person of color in this town, when you walk into a room, odds are they're looking for slaves, maids, and or some other stereotype, and they are looking for specific people, and a lot of things say like sassy character number two, or like, you know, the hip best friend. She has to be urban. And the thing about it is, when you're in a room full of all these people of color, of course we see people who are different. So the people who a lot of people will say, oh, well, right now there's a lot of work for people of color in this town right now, because again, it's a trend. But my biggest thing is, one, it's disproportionately wrong, and like most things, when it comes to people of color in America. But two, it's an age thing with me as well, because the people of color that are here are getting work, usually have been here for a little while, as and they established a good foothold. So a lot of plays or things that call for people of a certain age, if they are getting casted as women of color or people of color, they get aged up, which isn't bad per se, based on whoever is casting it. It hurts. It sucks, because you are out here, you're doing the work, you really want to be a part of it, and it is the nature of the beast. But I'm sitting here and we're all looking at these talented young people of color who want to tell talented young stories. Like, I love August Wilson. Great. The Century Cycle is great. I just want to hear new stories now, because I'm 24 and I'm tired of playing stuff that happens from 1935 or 1967. And it's a language and it's a culture, and I think it needs to be passed on and always carried. But when are we going to start ingraining our timeline into this culture? When are we going to start talking about how young women moved in the early 2000s and how we faced the great election of 2016, and, you know, or how, you know, HBCUs are prospering today? You know, things that, like, you know, how we take care of our hair, how we walk through the world, what do we wear, what artists do we listen to, what current artists right now, like Beyonce, or, you know, or even like the older ones like Sade, or like how they influenced our time. I want to hear more up-to-date things. So my biggest thing is, I'm just tired of seeing the same old rhetoric when it comes to people of color, and hopefully and praying that this will be enough for, you know, to appease us. Like, we need to be appeased. That's my thing.
So once again, for those of you who are just now joining us, you're listening to Stage and Studio, and joining us today, we have Tyhara Cozier and Monica Fleetwood with Side-Eyed Collaborations. Let's talk about the show.
The Clark Doll is about three black women. How great is that? It's just, like, on a very basic level, it is about three black women, and what makes it so special and beautiful, it is telling the story of black womanhood and the myriad of, like, what we encompass and the time that we spend. And I know personally, since I've been here, I've seen a lot of things with like our white counterparts, but nothing within our own Black community. And this is what this play explores. It explores the colorism and the shame and the vulnerability and the strength, but then how does that strength turn its head and rear itself on ourselves, and how our oppressors and how then we become the oppressors. It explores all these things that have to do specifically and with just Black women. It does address other things that influence us, but what it ultimately is coming through, and the playwright writes, which is beautifully, is how we sponge all that up from a young age until adulthood, and then how we display that onto other Black women.
The inspiration for this play was the doll tests, which were part of a study conducted in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm. And in the 2000s.
And this was like a study of the psychological effects of segregation on African-American children. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about the playwright? Are you in contact with her at all?
Or? Yes. Actually, what inspired, we went to PAC and we were looking at our graduate showcase, and I had contacted her about a different play, and she said, hey, tell me more about your ensemble and what's, you know, this and that. And so she sent me back this play, The Clark Doll, and she said, I think y'all might be able to use this. Let me know. But at the time, of course, it was only Ty and I who were the Black women. So we need the third Black woman, which just kind of inspired us more to be like, we clearly don't have enough even to put on a play right now, you know? And so that being said, she was like, the segregation for her is not just about, again, there's this thing where you have to have some white opposing force to maneuver the story. What she does a beautiful job is what she is saying is, again, with the soaking of the sponge, it's that we soak up all this information and all these things that we then start to segregate ourselves as well. You sometimes walk into a room, and let's just be honest, you see a lot of white people, you see some couple of like specifically Black people, you tend to kind of shoulder off a little bit of there, and it's just because of all the information and knowledge. And so what she's trying to explore is how that segregation has in turn influenced us, and then how we start to segregate ourselves, and then we start to segregate ourselves between our color and way we speak and hair type and all these things, because we're always trying to say we are different, we're different, we're different, so we can get back on the same page as what would be our white counterparts. And so the doll test is basically saying, you know, what do you prefer when you see a white baby doll, you see a Black baby doll? And the test unanimously said that even Black kids would prefer the white baby doll opposed to the Black doll. And so you would assume, because something looks like me or it kind of represents me, that I would pick that first. But the reality is that because of all this information you have soaked up and all this, these things that have told you that, you know, you may not be good enough, or all these other negative things that have come across your life, that you are still going to pick something that is not representative of yourself.
You know, I'm an 80s baby. I was born in 1980. And even thinking about this now, I grew up in a predominantly Black neighborhood, but all the girls I knew, most of them had white Barbies.
Yep.
Or back then, I used to have those little cutout paper dolls.
Yeah. Well, our parents did the best that we could. I'm pretty sure we had the parents who was like, my mom was like, here's Black dolls, here's Black Santa, here's Black Stretch Armstrong, here's Black everything. Like, you know what I mean?
What
like,
do you want? But it's
like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, my mom was like, very much like, I'm going to fill your head with this because I know that when you walk outside this house, you're going to see that white is right and that's the norm. That's what you're going to get. You're going to see blonde hair, blue-eyed Barbie and her friends. You're going to see that on poster boards. Mm-hmm. You're going to see, you know. And that's the thing about the Clark doll is the playwright describes it as an intersection between her Blackness and her being a woman. An internal oppression that Black women have based on society pressures as well. Looking at magazine covers, you see white people on magazine covers more than you see a Black girl. And then even the Black women that you do see on magazine covers are incredibly lightened. You know, like how many covers have we seen of Beyonce like three shades lighter than when she first was out in the game with Destiny's Child? The longer these Black women in the community are more ingrained within fame, the higher their complexion gets, the brighter and more blonder and straight their hair gets. And at the root of all of it, it's and that's what we're doing, is we can't forget that this is a celebration of Black women, about how different we are. And though there is some internal strife there between Black women with, you know, colorism and stuff there, we still need to support and uplift one another, because if we don't do it, who's gonna do it? You know what I mean? So that's what I take away from it.
Let's switch gears a little bit before we close. I like to reference a blog that I read on Willamette Weekly's website last year, and it was entitled You Can't Be What You Can't See, which was part of their fall arts guide from last year. And it was highlighting works by women and people of color. And you have an all black female cast for the Clark Doll. So what does programming diverse artists in Portland mean to you? I know we touched on it earlier, but...
On a very basic level, I want, and it's our goal to reach out to young, especially young black women, to see that you can be on stage. And not only can you be on stage, you can be on stage telling a story that doesn't put you just as a slave. You can be on stage telling a story that doesn't put you as a crackhead. You can tell all these stories that are not negative, that don't have to be so negative and downtrodden. Yes, Clark Doll explores those things, but as Ty said, it explores it through at the end as a celebration that, you know, we are stronger, but we also conflict that with vulnerability. And so for the minorities, I want minorities to see that you can tell a story. And even a little bit past Clark Doll's, I hope that people understand that Ty and I graduated, had an idea, we're kind of just really bumping, hitting our head against the wall with things, and we were inspired to do it. And on a base level, we want you to know that if you're inspired to do it, you can do it.
Yeah, I think my biggest thing is in 2018, because my whole thing's been about 2018, this is how I'm gonna live my life in 2018, getting that letter or getting that or being told thank you, but no thank you is just like no longer going to suffice for me. Like, I think I want people to take away from, not only are we doing this and are we going to be successful within our own right, because it's our right to be successful. It's not a privilege. It's a, you know, we have the right to be successful with or without an audience's approval. We want to share, you know, we want people to be involved in it. But my biggest thing is for young people, and especially young women of color, that if they're not going to give it to you, you can make it yourself.
Yes.
No problem. And I hope that this is a calling card to all people like that. And you could be a young woman of color. You could be a young boy of color. You could be somebody who's just woke and down for the cause and wants to see change and wants to see it immediately and wants to see it permanently. I'm hoping that Side-Eyed and this production is a calling card to all those people to be like, listen, if they're not going to do it for you, you have every right and you have the resources through us, hopefully, to do it yourself, because we're going to be here and we're going to uplift and we're going to support you, because you matter and you're a future leader of the world and this is what needs to be done. So if they're not going to let you grind, then you got to grind on your own, baby. Yeah. That's how I'm thinking about it.
Man, I remember the launch party and I had no idea what this play was about. I had no idea what you were going to do at this launch party. I just showed up honestly, like one night, because you performed a couple of scenes from the show, and it just felt really great to be in a space with nothing but women of color on stage. And some of the language was not so clear to me, but it wasn't really the language, it's the body language. Like I understood what was happening. There's something about that blackness that I understood, that I knew I got, and no one, that a lot of other people in the room couldn't get. I felt like I could take ownership of that. And I say that because I don't get a lot of that in Portland. Or the reading that I saw you in a couple of months ago when we did Ruined. We had 16 people of color on stage.
That was a lot.
I took pictures.
That was a lot of people, pictures. Man. I mean,
that was a great space.
And did you see how many people were just having a good time? And, you know, and something else I want to reiterate is that when you see our designers aren't black. Not all of our designers are black. I think sometimes white people may assume and think that, you know, if this is their space, this needs to be their space, and like, am I welcome? How can I help? And I can only speak for Side-Eye. It is everybody's space. Mm-hmm. But will you lead that space? No, not all the time. Not on everything. Not probably 70% of it. I'm gonna be honest. But you know, what makes us different and what makes us appreciate the people who have jumped on board is that they're saying, you know, how can I support you? Not what can I get out of this? How can I be on the stage? Nobody's on the stage. Nobody's directing it. I mean, we have Victor Mack, a black male, directing that, which we chose. And I mean, that was powerful within ourselves to be able to pick our own director and who we could trust.
Who is a black male.
Yes.
Because that's very important.
But everybody from our stage manager to our designers who have put in hours of time and working with us, you know, to see that type of collaboration is beautiful. And being able to trust that, you know, you don't have to be the producer on that. You don't have to be the director on that. You can be a hand in that and it will still get the work done. And you also have the opportunity, which you specified this and talked about, that for once, maybe you get to be in a production that minorities don't feel like they just have to observe other people in. You get a chance to be in a production that they fully get to immerse themselves in and to have feelings about, whether it's good or bad, and they don't have to sit and check the room mm-hmm. full of primary people who don't look like them. Mm-hmm. Even if it's 10, if it's 10 black people come to our show, and nothing about us but white people, I can promise you that they may check in because it's just a space, but they're going to be immersed in the show because there is actually a show that is not only discussing but actively living through what is now and what is present and what is past. And the show just weaves all these things in, which is beautifully written by Liz Morgan. But they get a chance to just immerse themselves. And it's been quite a while since I've actually been in a production that I got to immerse myself when I'm not constantly checking my black radar of sensitivity and emotions or black rage, just constantly checking. And this is how you move theater. This is how you become of assistance. There are so many things that you can do. So don't, especially with side-eye collaborations, we are very intersectional. There's so many stories we want to tell. There's so many people we already have an idea who we want to collaborate with. There's so many people we want on board. And we have been, I will say, lucky, and I will even throw this out there, blessed that we have had white people who support us, and I mean have been down for the cause, and that is beautiful, and who have only said, how can I be of service?
How can I step up, and when do I step back? But knowing to step back.
And knowing when to step back.
Mm-hmm. And who's to say we're never going to switch it up and, like, I don't know, do The Sound of Music or something?
I mean, yeah, we might. William Inch. Play. You know what I mean? We might.
So where can we buy tickets?
You can buy tickets on Artfully. Probably one of the easiest things to do is to go to our Facebook page. We'll be posting all the things. So please go to our Facebook page. All I do is go on the search engine and type in Side Eye Collaborations. I'm pretty sure there's a www, but I just go on Facebook, type in Side Eye Collaborations. You're going to see two black women side-eyeing, so you should know exactly who we are. We do loud pops of color, so you will immediately know who we are. You can click the link. It'll be on Artfully. You can also just type in Artfully / Side Eye Collaborations, and it also will come up. Lucky for the actors, because we are actors and we have lots of actor friends, and we will be doing two Saturdays with 10 p.m. shows mm-hmm. because actors want to be able to support their friends. So we will be doing double shows. We will be having...
Thank you so much.
So we'll have 8 p.m. shows frequently. There will be the call time. We'll start the show at 8 p.m. and then we'll have a double on Saturday with 10 p.m. because we want to be able to share this with all types of people, and some of those people that want to really support us are going to be in their own shows. So get your hustle so then you can come and support us.
You are listening to Stage and Studio, and we have been talking to Taihara Kozie and Monica Fleetwood with Side-Eyed Collaboration. The premiere of their show, The Clark Doll, starts on February 6th, and that is a Pay What You Will night, and runs through February 21st at Performance Works Northwest at 4625 Southeast 67th Avenue here in Portland. For more information about the show, visit their Facebook page or visit their website at www.sideeyedpdx.com. That's SYDEIDEPDX.com. Ty, Monica, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great opening with the show. I can't wait to see it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing all the bodies in the seats.
Happy opening.
If you missed any of this interview, you can listen later on today online at kboo.fm/stageandstudio. You can also get post events or get previews by joining our Facebook page. And that's it for Stage and Studio. A special thanks to our engineer. Till next week, I'm James Dixon with Stage and Studio. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, KBOO listeners. The time is 11:27. You're listening to KBOO Portland. My name is Tave Fache-Drake. And up next is Art Focus. Art Focus talks to Jesselyn Hogenjoes, whose show Cascades is on now at the Russo Lee Gallery. So stick around for that. We have some cloudy skies, chance of rain, but I hope you're staying warm and dry and enjoying your morning. This afternoon, we have Spanish language programming beginning at noon and going all the way until 4 o'clock. From noon until 1:30, we actually have Buscando America, which is with Tanya Gomez Daza. And then at 1:30 to 2:30 is Fa Radio with Luna Flores. And then from 2:30 to 4 o'clock is Radio Tonale or Radio Tonale. So I hope you'll stick around for that. And then at 4 o'clock, we have Democracy Now!, which we are going to be airing. And then 10 are independently produced KBOO News. So we appreciate you listening. We hope you'd like to donate. Go to kboo.fm and click on the donate button. Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to host the class Hip Hop Past, Present, and Future, and Your Place in It with Mike Crenshaw on Saturday, January 27th at 4 p.m. at KBOO in Portland. This class will explore hip hop history locally and nationally, KBOO hip hop programming, how hip hop influences art, culture, and political consciousness, rhyme writing and production, and how liberation struggles have contributed to hip hop culture. Again, that's Hip Hop Past, Present, and Future and Your Place in It with Mike Crenshaw on Saturday, January 27th at 4 p.m. at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall.
Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Jesselyn Hagenjoss. Her paintings Cascades are on now at the Russo Lee Gallery through January 27th. Thanks for being on KBOO, Jesselyn.
Thank you so much, Joseph, for having me.
I should say Jesselyn is in Mexico right now, and I'm in KBOO studio. We are doing this by phone, but I wanted to ask Jesselyn, what you're doing in Mexico?
In Mexico, my husband and I decided to take a sabbatical about 9 years ago and drive through the country of Mexico from San Francisco, where we were living at the time. We took about an 8-month sabbatical. I had finished grad school. And we got in our car, put our huge dog in the back, and drove through Mexico for about 8 months. And we found this weird little fishing town called Barra de Navidad in the state of Jalisco.